Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
The Mary sounds called disrespectful and insulting the way the trade went down.
When they re-signed me, I was thinking that I was good. 2 weeks later, I was gone. So it's like, why did you waste my time?
I feel like I was always truthful with them, but things changed, and therefore what I said was not the same as what it was.
This is the same Patriots team when I was with the Patriots that traded Loy Malloy the week of week one.
Sorry to put you through it.
It was just Michael Bennett.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on any player's personal situation.
It's nice when you have a coach that sees you as a human being, not just a number, and you have an issue and you're able to go talk to him and tell him about what's going on. You're able to go take care of it.
Yeah, right now we're focused on the Jets.
Right now.
I'll shoot your ass in the bleeping head.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Actually cold in the studio now. Do you notice that?
Feels great.
Cold in here. We had major power issues, as most people have had, due to the storm last night. And we're finally getting our act back together. I'm pushing some of these buttons. Some of them work, some of them don't, but we'll let that to engineering to fix it up. Good luck trying to get all of this thing coordinated. You just heard Bill Belichick. Very interesting today, because he was asked questions about Demaryius Thomas, because Thomas is mouthing off in New York, kind of pissed at the way that Belichick handled it. And Belichick answered it because I think he likes the guy. And then the flip side of it is they asked him questions about Michael Bennett and then went at it. A follow-up and then a third follow-up by Phil Perry, who was basically using not Michael Bennett, but a situation a guy might be in. And he wanted nothing to do with it. And Michael Bennett, of course, everybody in the league knows he was suspended for a week. And he lost his pay. It's part of the NFL transactions. So there's no hiding. There's no sitting there going, I don't know what happened. We all know what happened. And then on top of that, Michael Bennett admitted that he had philosophical issues with his line coach. So everybody knows the story there. And yet Bill won nothing to do with it. We'll let you hear it. Let's hear the Bennett one first. Hear that. And as you hear it, and you'll hear the follow-up, you tell me if anybody out there believes that Michael Bennett is coming back with the New England Patriots.
Bill, just Michael Bennett, what happened with him that led to a suspension this week?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on any player's personal situation. So.
Bill, what do you see as a role for Michael Bennett going forward for the rest of the season?
Yeah, right now we're focused on the Jets. That's what we're working on.
Go ahead, Phil.
Third time, Phil.
Bill, when it comes to bringing aboard a veteran player who's had success in a certain system,
like Michael,
and then you bring him to your system, and maybe he's asked to do some different things. How difficult, in your experience, how difficult can that be sometimes?
We're going there.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You'd have to ask the player that. Varies probably from player to player.
So, in other words, go ask Michael Bennett.
I love Kern and Phil Perry. They're just like a little tag team. Okay, you hit him high. Question.
Keep him down on the ground. You pounce on him, Tommy Kern.
So he's not going to answer any
questions. Not answer the
question.
So,
he's not playing.
So
he's
you suspended. Heard that. You heard that. You've heard enough of Bill over the years. Michael Bennett here? 2 weeks
no,
from now?
No, I do not think he is.
I don't either.
I think he's traded. No, he's Dunsky. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just don't, because even if he does come back, let's just say he comes back. Because remember, Danny Shelton wasn't suspended, but they sat him for
inactive for four games.
Inactive, that which is pretty, and we, you know, which is kind of tough to swallow. You're a first round pick, and then suddenly you come to the Patriots, and they're deactivating you. I'm a first round pick. I should be playing, even though I'm not doing my best. But they don't, and then it takes him a while to kind of get back into the flow of things. They give him a little. They challenge him. He shows that he's playing better. Next thing you know,
conditioning,
he's one of
drops
their best players.
Weight.
Yeah, and now he's one of their
stuff.
Best players.
Yeah.
So he's not coming off the field. So what do you think is going to happen with Michael Bennett? He's not gonna suddenly, once he comes off suspension, start playing on a regular basis.
No.
He's not. No. They don't have a role for him. They don't
too
need
much
him,
money
so they
too.
Should get rid
just
of him.
Just too much money. $6.5 million.
And then, well, hold on, but there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. The guy wants to play. He'd rather play on a regular basis and then have a role or be on hold until somebody gets hurt, or until they play Philly and then they need his services, or they play Dallas and they need him to be a specialist somehow. They don't need him. Right, so I don't know. I don't see what the big deal
so,
is.
So Bill wasn't talking much about him, even though we all know the situation with Michael Bennett. He was willing to talk today about Demaryius Thomas, who explained to the New York Daily News today that his brief stay with the Patriots was, and I am quoting, a waste of time. It was insulting for sure. Once I got cut, I could have just come here to the Jets and not stayed there and re-signed. When they re-signed me, I was thinking that I was good. 2 weeks later, I was gone. So it's like, why did I waste my time? Because at the end of the day, it was kind of a waste of time for me. They took a chance to bring me in, help me get healthy. I always knew I was going to be able to still play, and it would have worked out because I was still learning their offense. Josh McDaniels drafted me, so I felt like I was cool. But even having conversations with him and a couple other people, it was like, you're going to be okay. 2 weeks later, AB gets cut, and then they kick me to the curb and ship me out like I was just a rookie. So, and he went on to talk about how it was disrespectful to him. Like, you know, you could trust me and I could trust me, you. And you told me when you cut me at the final cut, sit around, you'll bring me back. And I stayed. I could have easily become a Jet once I got cut. And he went on and on.
Yeah.
So Bill was asked a question today about these quotes with Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas called it disrespectful and insulting the way the trade went down this September. Do you have any regrets about how that whole situation played out?
Yeah, look, Demaryius is a great kid. I have a ton of respect for him. He's very professional and did everything we asked him to do. Our circumstances changed a couple times in that period leading up to when he was traded. And so I feel like I was always truthful with him, but things changed, and therefore what I said was not the same as what it was, what I'd said previously. So, it is what it is.
That's it. So people are wondering, oh, wow, can you believe, Bill, wouldn't answer any of these other questions, but he, I guess for him, went in depth about what happened. I think when he heard what Demaryius Thomas said, he read some of the quotes, and if he read Manish Mehta's article in the New York Daily News where he ends it with lesson learned, truth is a myth in Foxborough, I felt like he needed to set the record straight. All right, guys, here's the deal. Okay, well, we needed him. We asked him to stick around. We liked him. We allowed him to get healthy here. We waited for him. He didn't do any preseason and played in one game. We were happy. We were excited about it. Well, okay, so we bring him back. And, oh, by the way, oh, geez, next thing you know, Antonio Brown is better. And he's being served on a platter to us, and we can keep this guy for a while. And he's the best receiver in the league. I'm sorry, Demaryius. We think you're good, and you recovered well from your Achilles. But this guy's better, and we can rely on him more. So the truth changed, I think, is the easiest way for me to say it. So, yeah, okay, at the time, we had every intention of keeping you around. You don't think Josh McDaniels wanted to keep Demaryius Thomas? So he thinks Demaryius Thomas is calling him a liar. Like he was set up, and they took advantage of his situation, which some teams do. The Patriots don't do that. I think he was direct. He was honest. And Demaryius Thomas just couldn't really get over what the reality was, is that somebody else better looking and hotter and younger came walking through the locker room, and suddenly he was expendable.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Bill obviously looked at this article. He's read it because he knows all of this stuff. He picks up on all of this stuff, even though at times he'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. He does. He's well-versed in everything that's going on around him. That's one reason he's so damn good as a coach. But he's probably read these quotes. Coach Belichick came up to me and was like, we got too many guys. We can't get the ball around enough, and we're going to trade you to the Jets. And that was that. Ain't no reason to yell. They've won championships without me. I was only trying to be part of something that was going to be good when I was there. They're doing a hell of a job. So I don't think he was in any way angry, if anything, when he said, he's a nice kid. I think he might feel, as well as, protecting his own ass. I think you're right about that, making sure he gets it straight, because neither one of them are calling the other one a liar. Bill's agreeing with his rundown of what happened.
Yeah, but look at the last sentence. by Manish Mehta, and I think this is what probably
kind
of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, that's his. That's his line. That's the columnist's line,
yeah.
though.
Well, that's not
Demaryius Thomas saying that.
No, I know, but that's the narrative that Manish is trying to create based on what Demaryius Thomas said. And if you listen to Demaryius Thomas, he said, "Listen, we can't get the ball to you. Okay, we're gonna get rid of you. We're gonna trade you to the Jets." If there was a sign that Bill Belichick liked the kid, Demaryius Thomas, he sent him to a guy that was his old coach, sent him to New York. It's the first time they've ever traded a player to the Jets, Glenn.
Unbelievable.
And so he obviously said, listen, I like Demaryius Thomas. Maybe I feel a little guilty. Not because I lied to him, because I didn't lie to him. I'm pretty damn direct. And I'm not pulling any punches. Same thing that happened with Ben. We don't have a roster spot. Okay, thanks for the effort. Thanks for the opportunity. Okay, you brought him back. Hey, why'd you bring him back? We had a roster spot. Somebody went on IR. We got a roster spot. It's really that simple. So that last line, truth is a myth in Foxborough. That's a lie.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
Yeah. And that's just the columnist.
I know it is, but you know.
Right.
Okay,
I don't think, why did he go?
Why did he feel like he needed to go out there and address this issue where he could have simply said nothing? Like he did regarding Michael Bennett.
Because I don't think he had anything to hide with Bennett. He does not want anybody to know. You already know that Bill did something he just doesn't do. He suspended the player, took away his pay for an entire week. He doesn't usually do that. You just talked about, you know, a player that wasn't performing well last year, and he took away four games, but he never took a paycheck away. He took away a $275,000 weekly paycheck away from this guy. And so he wasn't going to give you any reason why. With this guy, he likes him. He feels bad for him. And by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if you look at it, if Bill wished he had Demaryius Thomas.
Oh,
right,
yeah, they
now
need him.
They need Demaryius Thomas. This was a mistake in the long run. Now, I get the timing. I'm not trying to be revisionist history
what
guy
they
here.
What they should have done,
and
guy.
Right. You can't do that because you've got to look at it. When Antonio Brown showed up, who do you want, Demaryius Thomas or Antonio Brown? Were you going to cut Jacoby Myers? Were you going to cut one of the young kids? Risk putting them on a practice squad and losing them? No. So what they did is, Demaryius Thomas makes no sense for us right now. We got a better receiver. Then 2 weeks later, Antonio Brown is out of here, and you're sitting there going, oh, we could have used Demaryius Thomas. We sit here talking about getting Mohamed Sanu and getting Diggs and getting all these other receivers. How about Demaryius Thomas last week against Dallas, 81% of the snaps, 4 catches, 62 yards. He's got 8 receptions, 109 yards in the past 2 weeks. He was injured coming back from that injury before that. You don't think the Patriots could use that on Monday night? The Jets are going to have that against the Patriots defense on Monday night.
Yeah, and that was my whole, you know, during, I guess, before the final cuts, before the first game against Pittsburgh, you know, if you were going to have Demaryius Thomas, Philip Dorsett, Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman, I don't know, fill in the blank with the tight end. I don't want to forget about the backs, guys. James White, Rex Burkhead,
yeah,
Sony Michelle, right? You have all these weapons. Don't look at them as wide receiver tailback. Look at them as just weapons, offensive weapons, because in the end, they're all interchangeable. So whatever, you know, define it as a tight end, whatever, doesn't matter. I felt like they had a ton of weapons. Well, maybe not, you know, Atlanta Falcons or LA Rams or Minnesota Vikings, but they had enough. They were more than serviceable. They were going to be the best. All they had to do was be middle of the road. Not having him is huge because now you're waiting on N'Keal Harry.
Right.
And that's a huge question mark. Health and can he figure it out? But just real quick, see, I want to go back to this. Like, when I think about it, do you think Bill is an advocate of the players? Do you think he's a friend of the players?
I think people do not think he's a players coach. I think he is.
He's the best players coach. And to me, I can't believe we're just sitting there because when this trade happened, we were all flabbergasted. Because Bill had been holding a grudge against the New York Jets forever. It's the only team he hadn't made a trade with. So I think he recognized that he was a good kid, and he wanted to do him a solid, and he's in a tough position. So
He worked with Adam Gase out in Denver.
But he was a rookie.
Correct.
So there's a huge connection there. There's a relationship there already. So Adam Gase is going to use him. Hey, I'm going to use you, man. Don't worry about it. You can trust me. I don't care what happens. Yeah. I got a roster spot for you. So he shows goodwill, he shows compassion, and he makes a trade with a team he despises. That is a coach being an advocate for his players, looking out for the best interests of the players, even though now, when they play on Monday, Demaryius Thomas is going to try to prove that they made the wrong decision. That's the biggest, best chip a player can have, right? You guys cut me? Didn't think I was good enough? You ever had AB? Oh, yeah, now who's got egg on their face? You wanted AB. You walked away from me. Now AB screwed up. Now you're screwed. I'm going to make you pay. You know, that is a huge theme for this game.
You want another theme?
Yeah, I love themes.
Sam Darnold's talking. He's talking. I don't know why he's talking.
Is he talking crap? Is he talking smack?
No, he's talking real positive about his team and what they can be. Says that the Jets offense can be unstoppable.
Oh, no.
Hold on. Once everyone's back. But they've got everybody back except for their tight end, right? Chris Herndon is the only guy they don't have back right now. Darnold thinks the arrow is pointing straight up for his offensive unit. He shared his bullish opinion about where things are headed this season once the team gets Chris Herndon back from that hamstring injury that's further delayed his debut after a four-game suspension. But he says once the guys are all back, and they really are all back except for Herndon, I think we are unstoppable as an offense. It's just up to us and how we execute. It's really up to us how many points we score, I think. I think we're capable of so many points with our offensive line, too, the way they played last game. With the way we've been running the ball and the way they've been protecting, the sky is the limit for us.
Wow.
It does not look like Herndon is ready to go this week, so he's probably not going to go. I'm telling you, that's a guy, they're feeling pretty cocky right now in New York.
So their first game that he played before he got the kissing disease was against Buffalo, right? They ended up, they had a nice
big
lead.
I'll take your word for it,
I'm almost positive that's the case. And they end up losing that game. Buffalo came back and won that game.
Oh, that was the 16-0 game.
Yeah, so then he had, then he turned into the kissing bandit. And then he comes in and has a great game. Long pass to Anderson. Does a great job moving in the pocket. I mean, he has the best attributes out of all the quarterbacks that you face.
Well, they were running the same plays. The difference was that Robbie Anderson was actually getting the ball in the vicinity of where he was running the route.
So the thing is that
with this kid throwing the ball,
everybody, they're all, that whole locker room, they're all feeling good, right? They got their first win.
They're feeling good.
Everybody's
right
getting healthy. Greg Williams, their defensive coordinator, calling a great game. I love Greg.
He's crazy.
Glad I never played for him. I love being on the same team with him, but I would never want to be on his defense. They're getting a bunch of their guys healthy. And they think they physically they can come in, they can play the Patriots and push them around. Like, they're going to be the bullies.
I'm not sure they can be the bullies against the Patriots. I will say this. I think this is one of those games that might come down to the wire. We've had every game we've had, even though the first half, Washington game, first half of the Giants game, you're sitting there going, where the hell is this offense? When are they going to get
you knew
here?
You
knew eventually the game was going to end up with the Patriots winning. I really believe this is going to be a competitive game. I think this quarterback, just looking at how he played last week, and you can't tell me that coming off of mononucleosis and then going out there and playing the way he played last week against a good team. That was a good team. You're telling me that he's not playing with tremendous confidence? A home game Monday night? This is a team that's getting full national exposure on a Monday night?
See, but here's the thing. So there's going to be a lot of energy. There's going to be a lot of noise.
The New York J-E-T-E Jets!
And usually, I would say this is that sneaky game where they end up losing.
Trap game.
But then it's just so obvious that it is a trap game that they'll be ready for it. So, to me, it doesn't
necessarily. Well, no. I'm agreeing with you. They'll be ready for it. And this defense will be terrific because, as I've said numerous times, I'm sold on the defense. But you've already talked about the offense. So, Josh Gordon didn't practice today.
He's got a knee and an ankle.
Right.
He's got two issues.
So let's say you don't have Josh Gordon in that game on Monday. You've got Dorsett just coming back, right? You don't know what he's going to be like. You've got a running game that you can't run.
Ben Watson.
Got Ben Watson. All right? You still don't have an awful lot on the offensive side of the ball, and that Jets defense is pretty good. You saw what they did to the Patriots in the second half when Julian Edelman left the game.
Yeah.
I think this is a competitive game on Monday night. 9.5 might be an awful lot of points to give up.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'd take the under or whatever the hell. But at the same time, let's not act like everyone's like patting Sam Darnold on the back and they're talking about how great he is. He's not playing against the Dallas Cowboys defense. This defense is great. It's great. So, all right. So, can he keep it clean? Can he not throw a pick?
Yeah, well, that's the key. You know, he's got to keep it clean. The thing is that they're going to stop you, and you're going to get a lot of three and outs because they're that good. So the question is, do you cough up the ball? And if you cough up the ball, then you're giving Brady additional opportunities. And right now, they're struggling in some of those opportunities. But if you give them two or three additional opportunities, sorry, boys, see you later, good night. You're not going to cover the 9.5.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Right. I think you should be, I don't think you should be, you know, lose sleep, but it's not, this is not going to be easy. And you just, again, it always goes back to the quarterback. So he's the best quarterback, I guess, you face, but everyone was championing Daniel Jones like he was the best thing. And he rolls in and he throws pick after pick after pick.
Yeah.
So is Sam Darnold better than Daniel Jones after having his second game in his second year?
Yeah, because it's his second year. So he's been around a little bit longer than Daniel Jones. I mean, Jones, this is his rookie season. You're coming up to Foxborough. You're playing the best defense in the league. And you look good at times, but then you get fooled. He made mistakes. He made mistakes because the defense gave him looks. He thought one thing, and there was another thing.
I tell you what, you got a real problem if Le'Veon Bell gets going. If he gets going, that just opens up their playbook something crazy.
Yeah, but you know what? They finally were able to get him going in that if you can open up your passing game a little bit, then it works. If you saw that first game against the Patriots, they had no passing game, and so what did Le'Veon Bell do? Absolutely nothing.
Oh, look at this, Manish Mehta. Manish Mehta, he is pushing for Sam Darnold.
Oh, he's a Jets honk.
Of course he is.
He's the worst Jets honk.
Well, that's why he said this whole truth is nothing but a myth in Foxborough. I mean, come on. Yeah. He says, updated 2019 AFC East quarterback rankings.
Well, this is from the spring, I believe, right?
Correct, from this spring.
Yeah, this is from the spring.
He's trying to.
He didn't update him this week.
Sam Darnold. He's got Sam Darnold number one.
Sam Darnold number one.
Josh Rosen still three.
Brady number two. Josh Rosen number three, even though he lost his starting gig. And Josh Allen number four, right? Yeah, but he's – come on.
Honestly, not always the best policy there.
Thank you, Joe. I think Sam Darnold's going to be a good quarterback, don't you?
No, I do. I think he's going to – I think he's he hasn't had we'll see how he does this year. I don't know. I still feel like everyone's raving about his arm strength. He's got elite arm strength.
He does, don't you think?
He's got great pocket mobility, great awareness.
Okay.
All right.
Until you get fooled, until the defense fools you, until suddenly you see a safety up on the line and you're trying to figure out what he's doing.
And do you have a problem with what he said as far as how good he thinks they can be? It's not like he's saying, "Oh, we're gonna kick the Patriots' butt."
No, the point I was making is I was not knocking Sam Darnold for saying that. The point I'm making is he's playing with tremendous confidence based on what they did last week. That was a major accomplishment for them last week. That's a good football team, Dallas. I know they've lost the last two big game for both them and the Eagles this week, right? Because they're playing each other down in Dallas. No, I'm not knocking him. I'm sitting there going, you know, he's looking at the players he's got, and Herndon is still out, so he needs him back. But he's sitting there. He's not even saying Monday night we're going to win against the Patriots. What he's saying is, I think we can have a really good offense. He might be right. He's got Le'Veon Bell as his running back.
What are they, 1-4? And
yeah, but they've had stiff quarterbacks playing.
No, I'm just saying, but they also – they're not dealing with really any real circumstances. It's like I feel like they're the Browns from last year. Hey, we're out of the playoffs. Here comes our new young quarterback. Let's just play, guys. Let's just go out there and have fun.
Yeah.
No, it'll be loud. I mean, listen. The fans are excited.
Jet fans churn very quickly on you. You know, if they get a couple picks, Gilmore picks somebody off or something like that, the Boo Birds come out. They're very quick to.
I would say if he just doesn't throw any picks, it will come down to
the last
series.
We can say that every week. That is the key.
No,
for beating the Patriots, you can't give up the ball.
No, but for bad quarterbacks. I mean, so what? I mean, so what if you're playing an offense that just isn't any good, so it doesn't matter if you get picks or not, there's just going to be three now. That's like a turnover anyways. Missed field goal, like a turnover.
Yeah, but that's why the Jets weren't a problem a few weeks back when you had – who was the kid? I can't even remember the kid's name. Falk was playing.
Luke Falk.
So because the running back, who's one of the better running backs in the league – was not even a question for us. Why? Because you don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, I would say that's a priority, getting him going.
So is Darnold a huge step up from Falk, who, by the way, is out of the league right now? Okay, he's on nobody's roster. Yes. And so now having a viable passing game and a quarterback that seems to have a good idea, not a great idea, but a good idea of what he's doing, probably more protective of the ball than Falk or who was the other kid, Fails, and all the other clowns they've had
so
there.
So many.
Right. And then now you have a running back, and a running back, you can get the running back involved in your offense.
Yeah, I tell you, that would be – that's something because you just – you can't guess right. And he needs that support. He's going to need a strong running game to support him.
But if you have no Josh Gordon in this
Which
game
looks like that's
on,
be
on
a
Monday,
no.
If that's the case, you tell me how many points can this offense put up on the board?
This one I would actually probably cap around 17, 21, something like that. Low scoring. They're not going to get into the 30s.
See, I think this is a low scoring
17,
game as well.
Something like that.
Right.
Field
and
goals.
So once again, you are dependent on your defense to basically win
you
a football
You will be
game.
Depending on your defense all year.
Yeah.
That's not going to change.
Right.
They're the alpha male in the relationship.
All right, 617-779-7937. Here's Bill in Exeter. Hey, Bill.
Hey, I got a quick question for Christian.
What's up?
I feel like the common thought is that for most people is that Bill isn't a player's coach. And I wanted to ask you, since you did play under him, how does he treat his players?
I mean, as far as what? I mean, is he – I'd say with
I mean, just as you know how most players, you know, everyone raves about all the players' coaches. How does he treat you guys?
Well, I think fair. I think that's it. I think he's fair, and I don't think there's any. I think you know what you get with Bill. See, when you talk about Michael Bennett, you know, earlier in the year, and Ryan, I don't know if you can find that when he had missed a couple days, and he missed a couple days of practice. And he was raving.
July 29th.
Yeah, okay. So he was raving about how great it is to be with a coach who understands you and, you know, and looks out for you. I'm going to play it for you, Bill. You listen to it real quick.
Oh, I had a personal – I didn't retire. Everybody said I retired. I was laughing at home. Laughing. I'm like, I didn't retire. No, I just had a family issue that I had to go take care of. But I was lucky. Coach Belichick, it's nice when you have a coach that has the human – sees you as a human being. Not just a number, and you have an issue, and you're able to go talk to him and tell him about what's going on, and you're able to go take care of it. That just makes you want to play harder for a coach when he believes in you and let you, you know, take care of your family first.
That's the same guy, Bill, that was suspended and is missing out on over $270,000. So earlier in the year, hey, great guy. Suddenly he isn't. The answer is that he's great. I mean, I think that's what you want.
But
he
forces
business.
You to be accountable for your actions.
Some guys don't like
it. You're right.
Because I tell you what, like there's – and Eric Mangini said it best, and I tell you what, he's so on point with the way he describes the situation with Michael Bennett and Bill and what's to be expected. You got to listen to it.
You think you're going to be the one that goes in there and change the way things are done?
Right.
Like, you join the military and you're surprised you got to go fight? Like, you know what you're getting into when you go to New England. Like, what did you expect? You have to play a role. And if you play the role well, you get more playing time. If you don't play the role well, then you get less playing time. It's a meritocracy. Nobody cares what you did in Seattle or Tampa Bay or how they did business. That's not how business is done there. So you go, you take your lumps, you're gone for a week, they pick up $400,000 in the cap or whatever it is for a salary, and you decide whether or not you want to come back and do things the right way or whether or not you want to keep trying to fight a system that nobody's won against and you're not going to win against either.
I like Eric Mangini on TV. I think he's good. I do.
Yeah, but I love the fact that there's a couple things in that, how it's... Nobody cares. Like, what you did in Tampa, Seattle, how they used you in Philly, the respect that they gave you, the reps they gave you, even though they probably shouldn't have been playing. Nobody cares. And I think that's a hard to understand for a guy that's pretty much gotten everything he's ever wanted. So they tell you, they're not screwing you, but they're like, it's just kind of the situation that we're in. But he doesn't like it. So he wants to play regardless of what's best for the team. And I think that just is a reality that's kind of hard for some guys to swallow because he wants to play and he's prideful.
It's interesting.
So I think it's a pride thing more than anything.
Interesting that Bill would call and ask you about that, because I think the impression people have of Belichick is he's just got to be a hard ass and he's not a player's coach at all because they see him up on the podium. He's actually protecting his players. When he does the interview with us on Monday, every answer is given, I think, with the players standing behind him. and he's careful of everything he says so that he in no way hurts any of those players. He doesn't want to give any of that information out. I think that's a big part of it. I can't tell you how many players, ex-players of Belichick, have said to me, people have it all wrong on Belichick. You go into team meetings, and Belichick will sit there and say, okay, fellas, what do you think we should do here? That he's asking them, and people are shocked when they hear that. I can't tell you how many times, and it's probably happened to you before, but I can't tell you how many times I've heard players say that to me about Belichick.
Yeah, that's why it's so crazy that he must have done something really effed up, because we were talking to Ben during the break, and the lengths that they have to go to make it official. Like, so they understood
that anything. This
was going to be public.
Yeah.
People were going to know about it. They're going to know that you got fined. They went through the correct channels. It wasn't this, you know, hey, we're just like a weak threat. Like, we weren't gonna threaten you and not do anything about it. We were going to actually follow through with it. That to me is the other part of it that I love, that there's no, like, idle threats with him. Like, if you poke the bear a little bit too many times, he's going to give you a warning. And if you do it again, he's not even going to tell you you screwed up. He's just going to suspend you.
You know, the word you hear from most people about Belichick that have played for him, he's consistent. He's consistent. And the thing is, you know exactly what he's going to do. And if you think you're going to be surprised and he's going elsewhere, forget about it. He's going to react the same way he reacted the last time. Something like that.
You're surprised you got to go fight?
I love that.
Yeah, I love that line. You join the military and you're all surprised that they actually want you to go to battle?
See, my feeling on this one is that it was really bad, but he doesn't really have a role here, Christian. Unless you lose a couple of players to injuries, you brought it up yesterday, you broke it down. He doesn't have a role with his team. So you already know that he's got kind of an attitude, Michael Bennett does. He doesn't really like authority. He doesn't like to be told certain things. That's it. That's in his history here. We know that. Why would you bring him back knowing that his role might not increase between now and the
end
of the year?
It's not going to change.
So why would you bring him back?
It's
you
not
know
change.
It. If and Belichick's too smart. He knows that this is going to be a problem down the road. Even if he sits there and says, "Michael, come on, just understand," and Bennett goes along with it now, does anybody believe that 5, 6, 8 weeks from now, that Bennett, when he's not playing much, is going to be sit there and he's going to be quiet about it?
So we'll find out how much of an advocate he is of the players when he ships them out. Does he ship them out to a good team or a bad team?
I think he ships them out to any team that he can
who
get
has a wide receiver
in return, get a wide receiver, or that will give him the draft picks that will allow him to get the wide receiver somewhere else. All right, no Lou today's got the day off. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com. Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, I love a rainy night. I love a rainy night. I love to hear the thunder. Watch the lightning when it lights up the sky.
Ow! I didn't like
it
last
night.
I didn't like it last night.
It's what he needs to add is rainy and windy night. It's really just windy night.
Those winds were howling, and we lost all power here at the radio station, and we've been working on a couple tin cans and whatever, but we're back in business, baby. Hold on, let me see.
It's like Lord of the Flies radio edition.
This button still doesn't work. That button.
No,
still
nothing.
Work.
Nothing lights up.
Jesus, we should have gone to Encore Boston Harbor, over with Mutt and Tommy Curran. Would have been perfect over there.
No, we should have been to Foxborough.
Oh, we could have
been
down
to
Foxborough, a little studio down there.
That thing
in Foxborough. So I listened to Danny Ainge's paid appearance, his weekly paid appearance on the other station today, and of course the big topic now is Jaylen Brown. I don't understand this there. People are commenting, and I saw somebody on TV mention it last night. Why would Jaylen Brown, when he's only going to become a restricted free agent, turn down 4 years and $80 million? Well, it's simple. I mean, he had a guy last year that was a backup point guard that was hardly playing that got how much money from Charlotte? He got a lot of money from Charlotte. So Jaylen Brown could have a flat year from last year to this year, and I think he's going to be better because he's a year older, knows a little bit more about the league, right? He should be. But if he has a flat year, he can make at least $480 million, probably more than that. What did Rozier make? Look it up. I'm at 3 years, $56 million. Jaylen Brown's a better player than Terry Rozier. So Terry Rozier can make that money. So why not wait it out? And I would say, unless they're going to give you, so Ben Simmons with Philadelphia, Jamal Murray got the same thing, 5 years, 170. That's the most they can give you, right? That's the max for that position.
He wants Ben Simmons' money.
He wants that money. So the only way you get that money, because he's not as good as Ben Simmons right now, he's not as good as Jamal Murray. He hasn't had that same opportunity, is to wait it out and get to the point where you can raise your game to that level to get 5 years and $170 million. Does he have the potential to do that? He does. Now, it might be difficult on this team because you have so many guys that are going to be scoring the ball or whatever, so maybe his numbers are not going to look great. But if you're another team, in Atlanta or some other team that is not that good, you're not going to look at Jaylen Brown and say, okay, he's averaging 16 now with Boston in an offense where they're using four or five different, you know, guys up there. We bring him here. He's a 24, 25-point a guy. He can play defense. He handles the ball. He can rebound. He can play numerous positions. He's got versatility. So a team outside of Boston might look at that and say, so why would he ever take right now, in before he even begins his restricted free agent year, $480 million, unless you have a physical ailment that you know about, and you're sitting there going,
you're not telling anybody. You're going to lock yourself into that guaranteed
my
money.
Left leg is about to fall off.
No, but isn't that just kind of like by the Celtics, almost like a, hey, we got to do it, like a respect thing. Like, here, we're going to throw. Or maybe it's just a fishing expedition to see where his head's at.
Well, Buddy Hield looked at 4 and 90, and didn't he say he was insulted by it? By Sacramento, they offered him 4 and 90, and he was insulted by it. So I'm wondering if by doing 4 and 80, and apparently Danny Ainge is now claiming there were other deals, so the money was not correct or something like that.
It's not accurate. I mean, somebody's probably off by 10 grand.
Right. So I would say that, don't you risk the chance that you might insult the player if he's looking at Ben Simmons? And I'm not saying he deserves Ben Simmons' money, but he might think he deserves Ben Simmons' money.
Of course he does. Yeah, he probably thinks he can shoot better than Ben Simmons.
Oh, yeah. Ben Simmons.
I mean, Ben Simmons, not to change topic, but he basically
made a three the other day.
But he's basically like, listen, I'm not a good shooter. What do you want me to do? I practice every offseason. I can't get any better. That's not what I do. I'm not here to shoot threes. I don't see, and this is just kind of protocol, though. I mean, what is the day? They have until when? Soon.
21st.
The 21st of this month, right?
Yeah, Monday. Is that Monday?
So that's what it is. No, he's not going to sign anything. He's going to play out this year. You know, and he'll probably earn more money. To me, it's almost like a chance of the Celtics to try and get him with short money. Just see what his appetite really was. Does he believe in himself? Is he going to take a risk? He's going to play out the year. He could get hurt. There's a lot of things that can happen. That's what that is.
Yeah, to me, the
dangle
only
– dangle it in front of him, yeah. See if he bites, see if he comes back with a counter.
To me, the only way you sign one of these deals, these four-year players signs one of these deals, is if they're going to pay you the max, $5 and $170 million. If they're willing to pay you $5 and $170 million, you take it. You like the team you're playing for, you just take the money. And that's what Simmons did, and that's what Murray did. Now, Caris LeVert of the Brooklyn Nets was offered less than that. I think 3 and 56 he was offered. But here's a kid that's had some major injury problems in the last couple of years, right? So he's looking at it.
It could backfire on him, though.
Right. He's looking at it much differently. So today with Toucher and Rich, Danny Ainge said, I feel like negotiations are going well. Whoever put out that report was not accurate. We are working to come to a result. Monday is our deadline. The negotiations have gone well. And Danny may be saying that because it may not be true. And to me, I read it, and if I'm Jaylen Brown, I'm insulted. You got to be kidding me.
At 4 and 80?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how crazy the league is right now that I'm insulted by it.
Again, but you know that wasn't the deal he was going to accept.
But see, the one problem I still have.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, the one problem I still have in trying to evaluate Tatum, which we'll go through this a
Tatum
year from
or Brown.
Now, and Brown, is people say, well, they're going to be so much different this year. Well, how are they going to be different this year? So last year, the biggest problem was you had too many guys that needed to have the basketball and too many guys needed to score. So you had Kyrie Irving, you had Gordon Hayward, you had Tatum, and you had Brown, okay? And I'll give you this. You also had Al Horford, but Horford many nights would sit there and say, I'll do the little things, and I'm good back here. I'm good back here. So what you've basically got is the exact same situation, except you have swapped out Kyrie Irving for Kemba Walker. And oh yeah, Kemba actually touches the ball more than Kyrie Irving did, which means if he's touching it more than the guy last year, I don't think they disliked Kyrie Irving as a person. I didn't get that feeling. They kind of disliked the fact that he would hijack the game. Well, what is Kemba Walker?
I would say the only two guys that don't have to prove something, that are kind of good with their contracts and they're confident in where they're at in their career, Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker. And I would say, that's it. Because Jaylen Brown is trying to get a new contract. Jason Tatum tried to establish himself as that alpha male go-to guy.
So how do you get the new contract?
They're all going to – I mean, I don't see what the difference is going to be.
Right.
So the only difference would be is that Brad Stevens can control or manipulate this roster better than he did with Kyrie Irving. So Kemba Walker is now your quote-unquote leader. I guess I'd still throw Marcus Smart there as the first guy.
Absolutely.
But he's too much of a star to not be a leader. You know, you can't be, you know, the highest paid guy, the point guard, and not be a leader.
Yeah, but he's different. I think he's an offensive machine. I'm not knocking him in that aspect, but he's never really been a leader.
So suddenly,
and maybe that's one reason they didn't win a lot of games down there in Charlotte. Some of it's personnel based, but Marcus Smart, on the other hand, to me, makes those plays. Not a great outside shooter, not even a good outside shooter. But I look at it, and I'm looking at that starting lineup, and I'm sitting there saying, okay, this is a Celtic team that is really going to be weak in interior defense. That's where they were strong last year. Between Horford and Baines, that was a strong interior defense, even against bigger players. Embiid, we can go through the player. Now, suddenly, you're probably going to start a 6'8 Daniel Tice at that spot.
Yep.
You're going to bring Enes Kanter coming off the bench.
Enes Kanter.
Who can't play a bit of defense, okay? He'll give you some scoring, but he's not going to give you defense, give you rebounds. And you tell me how you're going to stop the Greek Freak taking it to the lane. There's going to be plenty of space there. Who's going to do that? I don't think Robert Williams is capable of doing any of that either, other than maybe blocking a few shots here or there. So you're going to need your guards to press to kind of take the pressure away from your bigs inside.
You want a meet in the ball at half court.
Exactly.
Is what you want.
That's
you want to play defense
and
at half court.
And so Marcus Smart suddenly becomes maybe one of the most valuable players on this team, on top of being your leader, because that's what he does.
Yeah, who's your second best defensive player then?
Jaylen Brown, probably.
Yeah, it has to be Jaylen Brown. Because in the past, I mean, Al was one, Jaylen was one, Marcus was one.
And Baines was.
And Baines was
with
one.
His body. People,
yeah.
You know.
So, yeah, you probably, you know, there was a lot of issues that you had, but you knew if they wanted to lock people down, they were capable of it.
I mean, the he's starting Daniel Tice, it seems to me, that, you know, we don't know until the regular season, but in
looks
the preseason, looks like Daniel Tice, 6'8", against Joel Embiid in the first game. Now, why is he starting Tice? I think he's starting Tice because he doesn't want to change his offense that much. And Tice gives you that inside-outside game where you can take a big out to the perimeter the way, you know, Horford could do, and then Baines learned to do it last year. But he's 6'8", and he's not a good defensive player.
And the one thing he had last year was, like, Al Horford was, like, kryptonite to Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Horford, whatever you think about him, he did a great job on Joel Embiid, and it always made a difference. Maybe not so much last year. But in the past, like, he was the difference maker. You had somebody who could slow him down.
Yeah, I'm not going to be silly enough to tell you you're going to learn anything on the first night, because usually you don't. I mean, anything could happen in that first night. But I would say this, that it does worry me when you look at the matchups. It worries me when you look at your interior defense and you've got the Greek Freak coming at you. and he beats his guy in the outside.
Would you be surprised if they're one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA?
I don't know about – I wouldn't say
one
worst.
One of the worst?
Yeah, because they're –
Bottom 10?
No, I think they'll be
Kemba
middle.
Kemba Walker doesn't play defense. Jason Tatum doesn't play defense. Daniel Tice, oh, great guy. We love him, but there's going to be some mismatches there. Jaylen Brown, good defense.
Yes, and I think
Gordon Hayward, has he suddenly become a lockdown Jerry?
No, but you could use the new kid, Grant Williams, who's a good defensive player. Ojale. So the guys coming off the bench, you've got a couple of guys that can play some defense. So I don't think they're going to be bad defensively. I just don't think they're going to be real good defensively. I think they're going to have to score every single night. And again, defensively, in a few positions, they'll be pretty good one-on-one. But what I worry about is as they spread out the floor, and that's what the game is. The game is take the ball to the hole, to kick it out to the perimeter and open up the three-point lane. You're going to have open space in the middle with Cantor. I mean, they're going to run that pick and roll, teams will, off of Kemba Walker and Cantor to death, and they're going to get easy baskets off you. The interior defense would really worry me if I were Brad Stevens right now. And, again, I think he's going to have to try to figure it out and manipulate it and press an awful lot. That's why Marcus Smart is playing a lot of minutes out there.
Best players.
But I'm wondering with all of those guys, and two of them that we know that are trying to get big contracts, in Jaylen Brown and in Jason Tatum, you tell me, getting contract money, it's all about numbers, right? Stats. And yet, as a team game, you got a lot of guys that can score, and the best way to win games of the Boston Celtics is to continue to move the ball until you get the open guy because you got four or five guys that can score.
Listen, I think that's as far as the themes, as far as what you're looking for. I mean, that's it. So have they figured out the fact that unselfish play is the best way to get to that? So unselfish play, yeah, but everybody's telling me I got to shoot. I'm not getting my contract. No, you'll get your contract. You'll get everyone will eat. There's enough for everyone to eat and get fat and happy. And that'll get back to the way they used to play as opposed to the way they played last year. I mean, if they all had different attitudes and, you know, and they weren't so selfish or just mad at the world for all the opportunities they were missing out on, you'd have a different outcome.
Yeah, but how do you take the selfishness away when we're sitting here talking? We just talked about Jaylen Brown. If you're Jaylen Brown, what is the best way to get that contract of 5 years and $170 million? Is probably to improve your stat line.
You got to take more shots. I would say he had some of his – I mean, he was the one guy that wasn't affected by all the stuff last year, especially towards the end of the year in the playoffs. He was one guy coming off the bench where he played great. Nobody else did.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's going to be happy coming off the bench, though, in this situation. You know,
I mean that's not a definite, though.
No, but I think – I still think you're going to have to end up starting Marcus Smart in the backcourt. I really believe you're going to have to start Marcus Smart. The interior defense on this team is going to be weak, and therefore you need to compensate. And the way you compensate is you press, and there's nobody better on that team and one of the better players in the league at going out and pressuring another guard, slow him down, make them work, give them time so that you can kind of correct the deficiency you have. There's nobody better than Marcus Smart.
So the way you have it right now, you have Smart, Hayward, Walker, Tatum, and Tice.
Yes, and I have Jaylen Brown coming off the bench.
Being the sixth man.
And I don't think he's going to like that.
Well, I think the three guys that could be interchangeable would be Smart, Tatum, and Brown. That'd be like the Patriots defensive line.
I mean, Lou thinks, and he might be right, that in the end, Jaylen Brown's going to be a better player than Jason Tatum. I'm not sure the Celtics.
Has he ever been right?
I'm not sure that's a good point. I'm not sure the Celtics believe that, but Lou might be right in that because he can do so many different things, including play defense, as you mentioned. All right, we got a last call. It's coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time now for Last Call. See you later. I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
I don't
that's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best, you know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, not stretch my thumb!
Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
It's all brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car. Help a child. Schedule your free pickup, 877-CARS for Kids or carsforkids.com. Hey, Antonio Brown's got some free time in his hands, so why not become a recording artist? Here's Antonio's buddy, DJ Legato, on this project.
All right, check it out. So for everybody that's following me, messaging me about this AB track, yes, we are going to drop it this week, but we got to get a few more vocals, mix and master it. But it is coming. Stay tuned to my IG. 4 weeks away.
Wow. So
you thought he was doing nothing. You thought, see, here he is.
He's using
his creative skills to do other things.
Is this going
to
be a diss track?
That's what it sounds like.
Is he going to be dissing Roger Goodell, dissing the Patriots?
Ooh.
I mean, it's like
another shot of
craft
on the way out.
Yeah, why would it not?
Sure.
There's going to be a lot of subliminal messages. He'll be loving on Brady.
Coming straight out of
called the Girls of Orchid Spa.
Oh, my God. There's going to be so many one-liners and inside jokes.
Well, don't you remember Ray Lewis and his rap career? That was great.
That's why men cry for women. That's why women. Can I slow down to honor a woman?
Mama, if you hear me, I'm sorry for the pain. And pass it to your love, I was in this.
I tell you,
holy! Wait, stop!
Hey, that's Ray Lewis.
That is such a Tupac knockoff.
Ray Lewis,
dear mama.
Yeah. That's why men cry for women. That's why women. Can I slow down to honor a woman?
Mama, if you hear me, I'm sorry for the pain and pass it to your love. I was in this
singing career doesn't require him to actually, you know, physically do anything.
That's why men cry for women.
Is that real? You're nodding your head yes. I don't believe you.
No, it's real. And
how old was it?
Oh, man, that's probably 3 years old.
Oh, okay, I was going
to
say.
And it was supposed to be, hey, this is coming. And it was Ray Lewis with Can You Stand the Rain. That was going to be the title of it. And all we got was this incomplete 15 seconds of...
That's why men cry for women.
By the way...
Oh, my God.
My prediction is the AB cut will be about 15 seconds. That's all it will be.
Four weeks away.
Have you ever tried to sell a house before, but you've got a little problem with it? How about this family in Iowa? Their basement is flooded out, but you know what it flooded out with? Animal blood.
Nobody wants to see that, smell that. I wouldn't want that for anybody to have that in their house.
Bagley resident Nick Listina and his family of seven were getting ready to put their house on the market.
And they've told us, you know, concurrently that we're not, shouldn't stay in the house.
Until their basement was flooded with animal blood.
I was shocked at first, but I mean, I had a pretty good idea where it came from.
They've lived next to Doll's Meat Locker for 10 years, but have never had any problems.
There you go.
Listina says his neighbors were dumping hog and cattle remains down a floor drain, which is connected to his pipes and ended up in his basement. He immediately reported it to the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, which confirmed it as animal blood, fat, and bones. And then got the Department of Health involved due to its health hazards.
This was a very unique situation. I hope this does not happen again in the future.
The DNR says the meat locker has been cooperative in the investigation.
Of course.
Lucina says his neighbors have been anything but that.
They haven't reached out at all. In fact, they haven't taken any accountability for it. They just say it's not their fault and I guess told me good luck, best of luck. It's if I want to do anything with it, it's on my dime and my schedule.
Spending valuable time and money trying to deal with this mess.
I definitely don't have thousands of dollars sitting around to throw at this.
We called the Doll's Meat Locker for comment, but it appeared they were closed.
Of course. What a surprise.
So what, do you buy a house with the animal blood or do you move next door to the cemetery?
I'm sure there's an attorney out there that will take this case.
Yeah. Well, you find somebody who's a big fan of vampires. Say, hey, I got the perfect house for
That's
you.
Disgusting.
I got the perfect house for you. There you go. If you missed any of today's show, remember you can listen to the entire program on the radio.com app using the new rewind feature. Still don't have that app. Just text app to 37937. Lou will be back tomorrow, so we'll have the full crew for a Friday. We get tonight's football game, right?
Kansas City
out there in Denver. Mutt's coming up next tonight. Tom E. Curran, he's over at Encore Boston Harbor. It's great on Thursday night. The two of them get in a good football discussion. Don't go away. They're coming up next. We're out of here.
over. We suck.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.